And we're also going to try with the PowerPoint to go along with the handouts. We'll just see how that goes. And goal tonight, hopefully we'll get through with this section and start another area. But last time we started and finished understanding the office as we talk about the biblical deacon. And it's not real thorough. We'll get more involved in the deacon as well as the pastor. This is kind of a crossover. We talked last time, as I mentioned, about understanding the office. And we'll also talk a little bit tonight, going back to the pastor again. We'll kind of go back and forth. I think there's some overlapping with qualifications with pastor and deacon. And tonight, Roman numeral number 2, understanding the philosophy of the local church leadership. Understanding the philosophy of local church leadership. We read our text last week. We'll read some more tonight. So if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles, we'll look at a few places. For sake of time, I will not read the full text again that we read when we began in the book of Acts, but we will be looking at Acts chapter 20 in just a few moments, and then I'll delay a little bit to give you time to look up some of the other scriptures in Timothy as well as Peter. But we'll be in the book of Acts chapter 20 in just a moment. Understanding the philosophy of local church leadership. And as we look at this, and again, there's going to be some overlap. And I'm hoping you'll see later how hopefully it'll tie together. But notice letter number A under this, the pastor's threefold work. The pastor's threefold work. And just like the deacons have a threefold work in the sense of helping and serving the pastor's table, the Lord's table, and the widow's table, pastors also have that threefold work of ministry. And we'll break those down and look at each one of those. I don't know that they're in the handout. You might just have to write them down. They may be in there. Number one, not necessarily in any order, but here's three of the things I'm referring to. Number one is evangelizing. It's not just the pastor, but it's the people. But look at Acts chapter 20. We'll read that, and we'll read 2 Timothy 4 or 5 as well. It's not just about me reading my Bible and studying and preaching and teaching. I have a responsibility to evangelize. And not only in doing that, I have a responsibility in setting the pace and giving the example. Now, if any of you have ever been out with me in public, if you run across me in public or out with me, I try to make a friend with everyone. I hope we're going to have a banker in church by Easter. She got enough invites, had enough fun with us as we met and cut up a little bit. In fact, as we brought it up, gentlemen, help me remember, she said, we need a church. She says, the church we've been going to is a lot of fluff and stuff and no content. Those are her words, a little paraphrased, but very near to that. And that's part of my job, is evangelizing, talking to others, inviting them to church. You know, the best way to get somebody in church is allow them or to think of you as a friend to begin with. We must show ourselves friendly. And so that part of that is evangelizing. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 20 and 21. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. You need to see me in the community being friendly, evangelizing and talking to others. It's not just my job to help build the church. God's going to build it. We just got to do our part in going out, and I am to set the pace. And so it's evangelizing, and we're all to do that. 2 Timothy 4, 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. So it's not all about it. This is kind of humorous, but I can remember at times being on the mission field, and during that time, I wore several hats. It was not only studying to preach and to teach, but it was learning a language. And most every week, I wrote a sermon and then translated a sermon because I think better in English. And then later try to translate or get with my translator when I started preaching in Russian or in Slovak. But I can remember my kids being asked, oh, what does your dad do? Oh, he doesn't do anything. He works from home. Now, that's from a kid's mind. But I want you to understand and realize something. You've got a pastor who works, who's not afraid to work, not afraid to be involved. Because I want to honor the Lord. I want to see our church grow. And it's not about the numbers. When I say grow, I'm talking about not just numerically, but spiritually as well. That's part of growth. And that also means you also taking on. Eventually, the idea for the pastor is to strive that the church begins to take on the pastor's personality. Now, I know that won't be fully intact for everyone because some of you are never going to come out of your shell as much as I am out of mine. But it's going to be close as you're going to get to it. And that's the whole idea. So evangelizing, and number two, is edifying. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. edifying. In other words, training the saints through teaching and preaching of the word of God. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, when I stand and preach, it needs to be content, something that you can apply to that's relevant today and what you need. And for now, it's being the reminder for the future and choosing and voting and setting aside leadership down the road. It's something we need to be reminded from the Word of God, and we need to be challenged and encouraged. And that's my goal. In fact, I put my neck on the chopping block every time we have a visitor. I've sent a thank you note out to every visitor we've had, except for a couple. Michelle did them for me this week. But I personally typed out, emailed, or sent a letter out thanking them for joining us in worship. And I say something of the nature of this: I trust our people were friendly and you felt welcomed. And then I add this phrase: and I trust the preaching was relevant and applied to your life. Because I want it to. And the response I want to get back from them is that it was. And because that's important, that's part of evangelizing, it's part of edifying. And then number three, administrating. I don't like this. This is probably my weakest spot is administration. That's why I'm grateful that God has given me some people around me, both men and women, that are good at that and help out. But needless to say, it's overseeing. Administrating means overseeing the business of the church. But I don't have to be in control of everything. Don't have to have my hands on every single thing. A pastor needs to be willing to let go and delegate authority and entrust them to get the job done. May come back and ask how it's going, but I don't need to have my hands on everything, because if I have my hands on everything, in my opinion, everything will suffer a little, because I can do one or two things well, but when I start adding to that, something is going to suffer or sacrifice. So administration, overseeing, not doing myself. And then we see 1 Peter 5:2 in reference to this area. 1 Peter 5:2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. We need to know this being taken care of. We need to know this going forward. And if I have good men and women around me and helping in the ministry, there's more things that I can focus on that is important. The studying, the preparation, the preaching, the teaching, the praying, of getting with people. I don't always do this, but I try, so forgive me if I haven't. But if I know that you're having surgery, if I can't get to you and be with you at the hospital or at your home, you'll at least get a phone call from me and have a word of prayer with me or Michelle over the phone before your procedure if I know about it. If I don't know, I haven't learned to read minds yet. But if I know about it, I'm going to reach out, and I try to put it in my calendar and to remind myself to get with them before the surgery, before the procedure, as long as I know. And I think that's part of ministering and shepherding. But you have the evangelizing, the edifying, the administration. And not only do we see the pastor's threefold work, but letter B, the threefold manner in which the pastor's burden or his work may be eased. There's a burden that I carry, every pastor carries, but how can it be eased to make me more effective? Number one, there's a plurality of pastors. Some churches are larger, more people. They need more pastoral men on staff to carry these things. Acts chapter 20, verse 17 and verse number 28. It says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Right at the point, but won't be long as God provides, we start growing at each kids and teenagers and others, that we may need to look at another staff member within the church, that aspect of plurality of having men working together. But until then, we pray as God provides, and we'll get to the other aspects as well. Now, if we look at these pluralities of pastors, there was always one senior pastor who served as the main preacher or the main pastor teacher. Plurality of pastors is biblically acceptable, but not required. Just like the Church of Jerusalem called out seven men for deacons. It's not required that you have seven deacons. It's a matter of the size. And if we look at the size of the church of Jerusalem, they had hundreds if not thousands, is why the number was larger. So it's adequate depending on the size of the church. So we not only see the plurality of pastors, but what the Lord has given us now is deacons. And we read that text already in Acts chapter 6. So for the sake of time, we read that last week about the number of disciples being multiplied and they called out men. Now, the third category is not only the plurality of pastors, but deacons, but also staff. 2 Corinthians 14:40, you know, talks about letting all things be done in decency and order. And this staff means basically volunteers, those who are willing to volunteer, to be involved, and to get things done. And folks, we've got a slew of volunteers. Just give me a minute to give you an example. Miss Joanne has taken on the nursery. She'll be coming to you and asking to help out. Don't tell her, Pastor already has me doing something else. Find out what day you can do it, one service a month. Well, I mean, Michelle, are you signed up? Michelle is in the nursery. And if somebody else wants to preach, I'll go in the nursery with Michelle. I'll take a turn. But we can set out one service a month, one service, twice services a month, whatever, and help out in the nursery. It'd be a great help to her. Brother Sam has stepped up and is taking on the music and working with the choir, doing a good job. Brother Dave has stepped in to help with the missions and PowerPoint. Brother Sam has offered. Brother Allen doing Excel. Brother Cleto just shows up and starts knocking down trees and trimming bushes. These are all, look, we look at people, staff, volunteering. Brother Frank is chomping at the bit to get busy. I keep telling him, no, listen to your wife and your doctor first. And we've got many others, Brother Cena, Brother Daryl, Brother Ed, Brother Enoch and his wife is stepping up, also helping Brother Cherry with the children's ministry as we start in Sunday school, the Smith family with the Sunday school as well. Miss Marlene, Brother Tony is doing enough to where I've quit asking them to do anything right now for a while. They're doing so much as well, like the Cenas. What I'm saying is we look across the congregation, we've got so many people involved in areas and others that I may not have named that said, Preacher, what can I do? I haven't forgotten you. I'm just working on finding things. Brother Tom, I'm looking for that insurance policy. We're looking. Well, Michelle is. She's looking for it. But he's going to go through it and make sure that we're covered properly. And by the way, you don't just need to insure this building facilities. You need to insure your pastor. Now, any advice that I give to anyone that know that I'm a pastor, they can sue me. Sad. And even doctors today that stop and give CPR, some yahoo who wants to sue them for saving their life. But we have to have coverage to protect the pastor, to protect the church and the facilities. And Brother Tom did that for years. And he said, yeah, I'll look over the policy. So it's wonderful to have this staff and lay people step up, which the Bible is very clear on that a church needs. Ephesians 4:11, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All these staff and volunteers that step up is for the edification and improvement and the betterment of our church as a family. And we work together in these areas, pastors, the plurality of pastors, as we looked at having staff, deacons, and then volunteer staff. And then letter C, a threefold need is evident if unity is to prevail. Unity has to be the key. Now, again, we can have the look at the threefold manner in which the pastor's burden has worked as we carried, and we can also look at the other things that we looked at in reference to the pastor's responsibility, but we also need to remember this threefold need is evident, and we'll look at Scripture if unity is going to prevail. We must learn to work together in all things. Number one, in reference to that, all leadership must be unified in doctrine. We must be unified in doctrine. That's why a pastor asks questions if you want to teach and be involved in ministry. Do you agree with our doctrinal statement? Are you on board with us? And I don't want to scare you, but there's so many things going on in our world today that we must protect ourselves. Whether you realize it or not, more likely than not, we're probably going to have to put cameras in all the children's room ministry. We're going to have to do background checks on people that work with children, especially new people coming in that we don't know. It's for the protection of the church and the pastor and the staff here. We want to protect what God has entrusted us with, and we need to be in unity on that. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Well, I've been so blessed as I teach and preach and have some of you come around later and say, Pastor, I want to be a blessing, not a problem. It tells me, hey, they listened last week. We talked about that in Scripture. Such an encouragement to get the notes under my door or get the notes handed to someone else to give them to me. Folks, I can't express of how much I know that I'm loved. I'm grateful. And I will pray and do, and I hope you folks feel the same way in receiving it back from your pastor and his wife. We are blessed. I got an email. I know I'm getting off track, but I'm going to do it anyway. I got an email from a dear friend who Michelle grew up with, went to high school with. His name is, ready? His name is John Lennon, not that one. Okay? In 1 month, we had, what was the other guy that we had? I don't want to ask them because I don't want somebody to know the answer to the question. Anyway, we had two men here recently, another church where we helped. One was John Lennon, and another one's name was same as a very common country western singer today. Boy, we should have seen our bulletin. People outside the church, they would have thought, who in the world are they having in their church? But not that John Lennon. He wrote me today, said, Brother Cook, how's it going in Arizona? Have you guys got settled in? And I started to ignore the note because I had so much going on. I said, no, I'm going to go ahead and write John because this is a blessing. And I was so glad to say we're settled in, and I think I said this earlier in prayer, and I said, we are so honored to pastor a church who loves God, loves each other, loves their pastor, and loves people. And boy, I had to stop and just weep a little bit and say, thank you, Lord. Never let me take that for granted. And that comes with unity as we work together for the cause of Christ, that unity. All leadership, number two, all leadership must be united in purpose, not just in doctrine, but in purpose. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's that leadership that we need, that's united not in distant doctrine, but in purpose. We have a goal as we strive together to serve one another, to serve our community, and to honor the Lord while we do it. Number three, all leadership must be united not only in doctrine and purpose, but in philosophy. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Our philosophy, now I realize sometimes there may be some differences in philosophy, but we need to be united in a philosophy that your church is moving forward with. We're not going to agree on everything. There's some things we can agree to disagree on, but moving together in the right direction. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Us moving together in doctrine and in purpose and in philosophy. You know, if nothing else, one key philosophy we need to have, and that is honor God. Honor God. If we are right this way, we are going to always be right this way. But when we're not right this way, we're going to have a hard time being right this way. So if we work on that goal, I'm going to stay right with God. To help me stay right here, I'm going to honor Him. And if we're honoring God in all that we do in ministry, people and others are going to take notice. And I don't know about you, where the excitement's going on and God is really working and moving, I want to be there. So as this community and we strive together in unity and God's doing something here, people are going to know what's going on. They're going to join. They're going to be a part. They're going to ask questions. And all we're going to say is, we're just honoring God and He's doing everything else. Amen? As we honor Him, we'll see God do great things. Let's see where I'm at. Letter D. A threefold benefit. Did I just hear a donation to missions? Ooh. On the honor system. A threefold benefit of a united leadership team. And as we think about a united leadership team, there's a couple things under this and we're almost done. First of all, it's biblical. Having the right leadership team, this benefit of a leadership team is biblical. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 through 5. Philippians 2, 2 through 5. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man of his own things, but every man also in the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It is biblical for us to work together and be united. And it's the same thing on the mission field. If missionaries want to have things accomplished, they may have to work together with other missionaries. Sometimes they're going to have to work with the community they live in because they have no rights. They're there as a missionary. They're visiting. They have to be very careful. They can't always stand up with the government and say, but the Bible says. You got to remember, you got to honor that government if you're going to be in there unless it crosses the word of God. And then the missionary has to make some decisions. But even here, God must be the forefront in honoring him because this aspect of being united is also biblical. But also it's practical. It's extremely practical to be united. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? I mean, the best way for us to be the most effective is be on the same page going in the same direction. If we're out there playing tug of war, one wants to go one way, one goes to another, two more jump in and they want to go the other direction, we're not going to get anything done. But we're going to generate some heat and sweat, but we're not going to get anything done. It's working together. It is biblical, it is practical, and then finally, it is productive. It is productive as we labor together this threefold benefit of a united leadership team. Psalm 133. Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3, and we'll end here tonight. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Boy, isn't that a good verse? I can remember growing up here, my dad said, boy, I wish you boys could just live together in peace. I don't know about you folks. Me and my brothers fought all the time. Now, nobody else was going to jump in. We quit fighting each other and fight them. But we were at it all the time. And then the best of friends 5 minutes later. But there should be none of that scrapping. We're going to work in unity. Verse 2. It is like, notice what it's like when we work, when the brethren dwell in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard or on the face. This baby face can't grow one. Even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Put in what you want to of what unity means to me. Here's something that me and Brother Ken understands. Unity is like a big bowl of ice cream. It's just so good. Whatever you want to put in there, I'm not trying to harm Scripture. What I'm saying, the Lord was saying is, he likened it to something that was considered in the cultural time as something, a place of honor and blessing and enjoyment. And that's what unity brings. It brings all of those things. And as all those things come together, it honors him. And where does the blessings come from? Him down to us. So as we labor and work together and we look toward adding more leadership, more deacons and more men and ladies of responsibility, remember this biblical aspect of deacon, the biblical aspect of a pastor, and we'll continue with this again next week in some other areas and some of the responsibilities, and once again, a little more in depth in some of the qualifications as the Bible says. Let's all stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. And then I know some folks may need to get up and out because they've got to get up early to work. But if you don't, please hang around and fellowship. Enjoy the time together with one another as we serve the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. And we'll ask God's blessings once again and pray for one another as we go through the work week. Father, bless our time now as we dismiss. Be with us, Lord, as we travel home after a time of fellowship. Give us safety. Be with those, Lord, especially if they get up really early and travel or to work tomorrow, that you give them traveling mercies and safety. Help us to remember and glean and pray as we learn these things. Lord, that we begin praying and asking the Lord to put someone on our heart and mind that we might consider to bring on as deacons in training and other positions in the church and lay members and lay staff to work as we work together in unity to serve the Lord. Father, help us to begin praying even now as we learn about these traits and qualifications. Now, Father, again, be with us as we dismiss. In Jesus' name, amen. As always, the Lord loves you and I love you. Let me know if I can be a help to you. You're dismissed.